opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walfort.
Well, good afternoon. This is Tokens Radio Show, where we talk about all things crypto, blockchain, and Web3. My name's Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kent.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, you can find us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. And the chat room is open at KCNR1460.com. Or give the show a call at 530-605-4567. And Pat is here today. Good to see you, Pat.
Hello, Pat.
Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. Where am I at? Yeah.
It's morning somewhere.
Yeah. It's just speaking to all those people out there where it's morning.
Yes. Well, Pat will be receiving your phone call if you should decide to call in and want to chat with us. And if you missed our last show, catch the replay at our website at tokensradioshow.com.
And all of our past shows
yes.
can be located there as well.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So let's just do a little bit of a word from our sponsor. So,
alrighty, go.
When investing in cryptocurrencies, don't rely on some biased YouTube influencer. Many of them receive a fee for backing a product or a project. Crypto Confidential is a subscription-based service providing expert, unbiased cryptocurrency analysis and commentary for a fraction of the cost of hiring an expert advisor. Their team is field-tested. They've been through previous big market swings and advise clients all over the globe. In addition to receiving expert analysis, members receive 2 monthly Ask Me Anything virtual meetings, access to the team anytime through the private members forum, and invitations to member-only events, and a monthly print publication. So use our link to enroll in this exclusive membership with a hassle-free 60-day money-back guarantee at tokensradioshow.com/CC. That's tokensradioshow.com/CC.
All right. It is time for Crypto Speak of the Week. I guess I could add on there. And the term is going to be mining.
Yay.
I know we talk about a lot of different things. So anyway, mining is the process through which new cryptocurrencies are minted. Many cryptocurrencies depend on proof-of-work mining system whereby computing power is delegated towards solving complex math riddles as a way to simultaneously secure and power a network while also minting new coins. So it's it's almost like minting money if you want to put it in perspective.
Right. Sure.
It's just tokens and it's digital. It's not a paper or solid coin.
Well, and another way to look at it, because I like your minting analogy, the only difference is that we can mint whatever heck amount that we want to mint. It's not tied to anything.
Right.
Whereas with a proof of work protocol, very much like Bitcoin, it is it's very finite. There's only 21 million coins that will ever be available, and proof of work protocols generally have a finite amount of coins available.
Right. And a good point is in the system, the fiat system that we have now,
yes.
And there's no end to how much we can print or mint.
I think we're getting into the theme of the show today.
I think we might.
Oh,
right.
My gosh. You know, I I love our radio show intro, and just listening to the words of that, it's just ever more true. And it's I just got to go back to the creators of the song to have the wherewithal to be forward thinking and put all of that together to where we are right now, because that song is several years old.
Right. Well, the whole Bitcoin cryptocurrency thing, for them to have the foresight.
Yes.
Back in, 2008, actually 2009, to help with what's going on now. Yeah. It's pretty amazing when you stop and think about it.
Yes.
How much in the future that they could see to where we were headed and to set stuff up to protect us.
Well, and if that is definitely the case, we don't know for sure, because there
right.
are, you know, we often talk about when the masses are zigging, you ought to be zagging. So when we think about that analogy, you think, gosh, you know, back in the time, it started in 2008 during the financial collapse, the great recession. A depression in sorts of a way. Were they really white hats, or was it just a planned mechanism because there was going to be a destruction of our currency,
right.
a whole new economic system that had to be planned for? So is it white hat, black hat? We don't know.
No.
We still don't know.
No, we still don't know for sure on that piece. But we have known for a long time that the system that we have can't keep going on
yeah.
forever.
Yes.
With the way it's set up and what they've done to it. Because yeah. there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There really isn't.
You know, when we started on this travel a couple of years ago,
that's
it just
scary.
Just looked like digital currency. Didn't really understand way beyond the ramifications of that. We had an idea it was going to replace a financial system.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at all of the moving parts and see how all of this ties together, and we're going to go back and review the public policy pyramid in just a little while and talk about all of the moving pieces, that is just not about currency. It's a whole bunch of other things going on.
Yeah,
that affect the
and
world.
To go back to, like you're saying, 2 years ago, yeah, you went, yeah, it's a digital currency, okay, you know, and you never gave it much thought, like you say, what else it involved and what it could do and where it's headed and where we're headed. I mean, even 2 years ago, who knew that we would be like we are today in everything?
Yeah.
I mean, we had some indication, but I don't think we were ready to the extent that we are now.
And fortunately for our listeners, we have way too much time on our hands to be able to study this 8 and 9 hours a day.
Oh, yes,
isn't that great?
It. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I have lots of extra time for all of this stuff, you know?
Well, and on that notion, we'd like to bring a little bit more, some new news that came about. It's a little bit off the mainstream. Of course, we've heard about... you know, the bankruptcies going on with Celsius and 3AC and all of that. But
mm-hmm.
we believe that this is much more significant. And going to the zag side of things, see, the masses are zigging, and that's by design, is to keep your eye off of the ball.
And look over here.
Right. And look at all the social things that are going on to take your attention off of that and cause all the divisiveness. But the zaggers are over here making policy, and those are the ones that we need to be looking
watching.
At. Watch. And if you're going to survive this transition, you ought to be doing some of what they're doing.
So, I have to agree with that.
Yes, it's so very clear. So one of the things that we wanted to bring to your attention is the crypto travel rule. Did you even know that one existed?
To be honest with you, I did not know that.
What do you think,
a couple of weeks ago.
Did you know that that existed?
Well, you probably can't put it in your suitcase. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, what is the crypto travel rule, and what does it mean to you? Basically, it's a measure to prevent bad actors from using digital assets to launder money. So it's under the guise of the anti-money laundering regulations. But each country should have their own. But this is a little bit more than that. This is more of a, let's say, a policy distributor stance, which we'll go back into the public policy pyramid later and just explain to you where this comes from. So after 3 years of controversial travel rule guidance was issued, the FAT F.
The FAT F.
The FAT F.
Did you even know there was such an agency as the FAT F? I mean, come on.
We want to keep it clean. We can kind of think of some interesting names for it, but it is really called the Financial Action Tax Force.
Yeah, I bet that's not where a lot of people's brains were going, but that is what it stands for.
And they regulate or attempt to regulate virtual asset service providers, which are called VASPs, V-A-S-Ps. And there are technical challenges that the FATF is having right now because they're not an elected body and they're trying to have as much, let's say, policy distribution authority as some of their brother or sister organizations, such as the World Economic Forum and, you know, the BlackRock, the NGOs, that type of thing.
Right. And there's that name again, BlackRock.
Yeah.
No matter where you turn.
Yes.
And, whatever arena we're in, what level we're at.
Right.
That name always comes up.
Hmm. So what they're upset about is that, you know, there's like 200 countries around the world, some odd number, 193 to whatever it is. But generally, this is an organization that was developed by the G7 and an additional 30 or so developed countries. And so we have quite a few that are not playing along at this point. And this rule was set up about 3 years ago. And the FATF is a little upset that things are not quite going as fast as they wanted it to. Any
surprise?
Other
words, yeah, in other words, that means they don't have control over everything as fast as they would like.
Well, yes, and there are other parts of the world agenda that is moving much quicker. And so this part isn't just fitting in. They might be getting pressure. You never know.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
So in essence, what it is that what they would like to see happen is that any cryptocurrency transactions over $1,000 must be reported for transactions between two parties. So, Linda, if I wish to trade with you and you wish to trade with me and we didn't need an intermediary, there would be some sort of way of reporting that.
Well, they want us to report that. But that isn't that part of what peer-to-peer is? Is so that Pat doesn't know what you and I are doing, for an example?
Exactly.
And maybe I don't want to know.
Oh, well, there could be that. But
inquiring minds do want to know, though.
But Pat wants to tell us what we need to do, and because we traded over a certain amount, you have to tell me you did that. Because you like me so much, right?
Right. So this is where the essence of this rule is coming in, and they're using it under the guise of anti-money laundering, which we had some statistics about that as well, as like it's like 2% of billions of dollars of GDP. It's a very small number around the world.
Right.
2%. Ironically, 40% of that is done in the United States.
And so when we were talking about this prior, I said, I wonder where the 40% comes from.
you just gotta
wonder, you know, if they want to be on our peer-to-peer transaction, exactly where's the 40% of money laundering coming from anyhow?
Wink, 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 nod, nod. So this rule does allow member states to choose to interpret this guidance and implement versions that best suits their local crypto industries. And so currently, this rule kicks in here in the United States for transactions above $3,000, and the same for the UK. Now, this is putting a lot of pressure on our organizations, such as Coinbase. I mean, there's a whole, there's probably 30 organizations.
Easy,
not,
yeah.
Yeah, and I won't, I will not bore you with all the names of them, but Coinbase is one of the biggest ones that are on this list. And is there no surprise of all the challenges that are happening with these exchanges now at this time? There's
right.
a lot of pressure being put on them, and trading has been ceased. Or
halted.
Yeah, temporarily.
Yes. Temporarily.
Some are still temporarily halted from over a month ago.
And which is understandable right. when you stop and think about where this is leading or where
right.
it could lead.
Yes.
Because now you're talking about exchanging my information and your information basically with whoever the third party shall be or not, the fat F, so to speak. I'm sorry, but, and that includes my name, my address,
right.
you know, things like that.
Yeah.
That's a little scary.
Yes.
Because that was the whole premise of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, was to keep that out of the hands and be decentralized.
Well, this non-compliance problem is called a sunrise problem. They actually have a name for it.
Oh, it's not solar flare?
And they would like to have this addressed. And they're trying to get the member states to kind of move along with things. So the moral of the story is, you know, when the masses are zigging, you look at who's zagging. Let's step back, and why all of a sudden are we now seeing crypto regulation?
Right.
Why?
It's a good question. You know, before, when we first started talking about regulation, I was really reserved on it because I'm thinking, all right, who is making the regulation on this? And again, I'm still reserved of wondering who's actually making it. But on the same token, and you look at it other ways, it could also protect us. So we have to look at both sides
right.
here. Again, like you say, if everybody's zigging, we should be zagging or whatever. But you got to keep your finger
right.
on the pulse of what actually is going on and what they're trying to accomplish.
And that is what we've grown up being really comfortable with that. And it's just what we've seen over the last couple of years is that it seems as though there's a tremendous force that's trying to change that.
Yeah.
And is eroding our confidence in the systems that we've been very comfortable with our entire life. So really, what does this mean for you? You know, the first thing that you need to have the back of the mind that you may have to forego part of your privacy to continue to interact with in the crypto market. That's just going to be how it is. One little caveat, though, I'll just throw this out there. There is a cross chain called Thor chain, which does allow you to go over different blockchains, and it is completely private. But this is not financial advice in any ways, but you might check out the project Thor chain if you're interested. And at the early phase of this regulatory revolution, you may be unable to execute transactions depending on the compliance status of your virtual service provider. So, and that of your counterparty.
Right.
So
and we're not sure what the regulation is going to be all the way, but keep your eyes open. And we will try to keep you informed exactly what's going on with the regulations when they're coming down, and maybe how you can help yourself with them.
Right. Yeah.
So beware. You know, we're all about the education piece of this.
That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
And we spend a great deal of time when we're not on the radio educating, and we're learning and sharing and doing the best that we can to help people receive the adoption that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Evident. And I think everybody quite understands that.
Right.
I think everybody understands that something isn't right across the board.
Something wrong.
There's something wrong. And they're a little scared. They have a little bit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is times none of us have ever been through. But we do have some tools we can put in our tool belt to help us
right.
get through this process.
Well, the next bit of news that is not new news, but we're coming closer to it, and that is the beginning of a CBDC, which are called central bank digital currencies, and they are coming. It's not if, they
it's,
are coming.
Yeah, it's when.
And we're going to have our own. We're not quite sure if it's going to be called the Fed Now, Fed Coin, whatever the case is, but we will have our own. It has been tested. Although the Federal Reserve has said that they will institute their own Fed coin in 2023, mm-hmm. it's quite possible that they may bring it out because it's all ready to go now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And they've made it quite clear, you know, that they answer to no one. So, and they will do basically what they want, when they want, how they want.
Right.
So, just because prior they said 23 doesn't mean, like you say, that it won't pop out here at any
right.
time.
And it has everything to do with, and what are the consequences for CBDCs and how would they be implement it. And so here we are. This is an article from July the 16th by Zero Hedge, mm-hmm. and Tyler Durden had reported on this. And a lot of what he has written in here has been written and reported by many other reliable sources. So, and he goes on to say here, the currencies are the lifeblood of trade and the economy, and if a currency fails, the entire economy fails. Now, just right there, haven't we been hearing about the endless printing of fiat currencies
mm-hmm.
and how much pressure that's putting on our economy? It's caused inflation, gas prices being the highest that they have ever been. And it's not just the reason for why gas prices are so high. There were other things done to affect that supply chain.
That is very true.
Right.
But we do know the currency, depending on how you want to define failing, we do know it is being worth less and less.
Right.
Because they are printing so much is one of the aspects of it.
Right.
You know. But yeah, it is. And we can see that, like I was saying earlier, we know this is going on. People
right.
know. They just can't quite understand how this is going to work.
Right.
Exactly. This is unknown territory.
It is, and they're getting away with this because most people just expect that money's never going to change in a dramatic way because this is what we've been raised with. And there's a great book out there called The Fourth Turning. And mm-hmm. what happens is when you have a generational change, it happens about every 100 years. So when you have the memory of the older generation who is no longer here to recite history, you now have a new turning. And currencies seem to run along with that timeline as well. And we're right at that point right now. We're 100 years since 1929.
Right. And not only that, it's something that's not taught in school.
Exactly.
You know, we've gone over this on many subjects. But, I mean, it sounds funny, but you see things on the Internet or talk to people and you go, like to young people, you go, how do you think the milk got in the grocery store? You know, and they really don't know. They really don't know the history behind money and all of this. And they're not teaching it.
Yes, absolutely. A small digression, if you don't mind, is that back in the mortgage lending years, we used to go to the high schools and do one of their weekly blocks. The high schools would allow us to come in and talk to their graduating seniors. And one of the jokes was I'd bring out a debit card and ask, how does the money become available through a debit card,
right.
and they go, well, you just stick it in the machine and the money comes out.
Yeah,
and
what else is there?
That was the extent of it, and they're really not getting the education there. So, you know, in case you don't know, the Federal Reserve is not part of the government. It is a private corporation, and they are the central bank, and they answer to no one. They don't follow any orders from our government whatsoever. They do what they want when they want, and that was openly admitted by Alan Greenspan. So just so that you know that.
That's a good point, Chris. And you know, we talked about it in many realms and stuff, but I still think a lot of, especially younger people, don't realize that the government doesn't own the Federal Reserve.
No.
You know, they don't have any control over the Federal Reserve.
Yes. And I'd say that there's some sort of a Well, we can talk about the owning of the government anyway, but we'll get to that later. So, you know, the attitude among the Fed should be concerning to the masses, and because they're able to just kind of do what they want when they want, and they've never been audited except for one time, and this was right around the 2008 cycle, and thank you to Ron Paul, who brought this out, where they had a small audit, and it was designed to just shut the people up and say, hey, we had an audit, and it was on one of their lending arms, so to speak. It was not the full Federal Reserve. But what was found was startling, and the media swept it under the rug, no surprise, but over $16 trillion in fiat money had been printed by the Fed over the span of just a few years, while the original claim was that there were just billions that had been created for the bailout starting in 2008. And there's been much, much more than that.
Right. I think we're going to have to go to a break here, Charlotte. But before we do, one of the things I wanted to get in here about the Federal Reserve is they're kind of fearful of the people having the knowledge.
That's right.
About what they're actually doing. And the more that we can push it out there and educate the people on that, the more control we can have over, hopefully, our lives with
yes.
it. And with that, we are going to go to a break.
Teach to leave them kids alone.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
The news is definitely twisted, so it's propagandic ends. They got a lot of pretty newsman boys that they call friends. How they lie in the courthouse, hide in the threat. Some lie to remember, some lie to forget. So I called up the doctor.
And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. If you want to call in, number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were talking about central bank digital currency, and we'll pick that up in a moment. But here first is a word from our partners, affiliated partners.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
All right, and we're back.
Yeah, and we really do like the Swan people. They're great people, and if you're going to dollar cost average into Bitcoin, I can't think of a better company to do that with.
And you need to just check them out because they have a lot of different things that they do.
Yes,
that
all,
they can
that's
help.
That's all
with.
Bitcoin related.
Yes, exactly. Yes, thank
Absolutely.
You for clarifying
yes.
that. Yeah.
So before we went to break, we were talking about central bank digital currencies, and we just want to finish up on this point, and then we're going to get into the public-private global pyramid, let's put it that way.
So the big pyramid.
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing that's limiting central banks from total monetary dominion and this is what they're really trying to do at this point, is the fact that the physical dollar – and even digital bank transfers can be accounted for. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. Once those dollars are out in the ether, there's not much the central banks can do to hide them, and eventually inflation will reveal the truth, which is what we're seeing right now because we can see it there.
Right.
And they want this out there to where it cannot be seen. In a digital bank, central bank digital currency, we won't be able to see anything because it's not going to be on a public blockchain.
No, they'll just tell us how it's going to work and where you fit into their little system.
Yeah, so let's talk about, you ever wonder why the mainstream media has been hyping up cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin for the last few years? No complaints about mining, and now we have complaints about mining and Bitcoin bad and all of this
yeah,
kind of stuff, right?
It's a Ponzi scheme. Don't get involved, and people are losing, and watch
right.
for the sharks.
But that's the zig. Let's talk about the zag. The zag is, ever wonder why major banks like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan have been pumping billions of dollars into crypto infrastructure and research and privacy while at the same time bashing crypto in the news? Warren Buffett, what? Charlie Munger, the same
oh, yes.
people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, the... Yeah. So ever wonder why central banks have been dismissing crypto as dangerous while at the same time developing their own cryptocurrencies?
Because they want to have the control, not you.
Right.
I mean, come on, Chris. You know, as long as they have control over it and they tell us how, when, where, and all of that, it's all good.
Exactly.
But don't think about it on your own or get ahead on your own.
Yes.
No, don't be doing that.
Yes. Well, and then the Bank of International Settlements, that's something you really want to pay attention to. They're known as the Central Bank of Central Banks. And they recently released a survey that states at least 81 central banks around the world have been accelerating plans to release their own cryptocurrencies. Well, and the reason is because central banks around the world have been accelerating their printing of fiat.
Right. And then they'll put it out there, something probably like, you know, help us stop the crisis. We're going to help everybody stop the crisis that's going on. So come get our digital currency.
No. This is why we're telling you what's going on. And you got to do your own research. We certainly have, and we're bringing it to you for you to do your research. So the public would never readily accept a CBDC as money unless their existing money is lost. It's most of its buying power. And the current system was in the gutter. I think we're pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, let's stop and think about this. We know they've had bank holidays
yes.
in other countries. Let's just say that they decided that you couldn't get your money and the only thing you could have was their digital currency. Do Do you think that's a possibility? That could happen like overnight?
Yes. And they're working on it.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you boil a frog? I mean, it's kind of the same type of analogy. Make it nice and warm and comfy, and next thing you know, you turn up the heat and you don't have any frogs jumping out of the pot anymore.
They can't jump. Dead frogs don't jump.
So the BIS is one of the most clandestine globalist organizations, and they're out in front. They're out in the public face, and they're talking about the developing of the CBDC technology. So it is no surprise, and they are on warp speed to get this done. And the Fed is going to be bringing their own out. This is all by, well, I think it's by
design.
But should
we
ask the question if this is all by design? And it's like how we started the show today with the beginning of Bitcoin.
Right.
Somebody designed it. I'm not quite sure it was really a white hat, novel intention to counter what was going on. Maybe it is. We'll see what happens. But I do know at this point we have two different camps. We have the Bitcoin Maxi groups and the privacy cryptocurrency. If you don't own your seed phrase, it's not your coin, that type of thing.
Right.
You need to self-custody. And then there's this other camp. I don't know how it's going to go. Should be very interesting.
Yes.
I just know which way I'm going. I'm zagging.
I have to agree with you, And you have to stop and look at it that the feds have created kind of a catch-22 with all of this. Because no matter what, it's going to crash, right?
Yes.
It's just what policy decisions
are
made during that or before that time. Who regulates what when this all starts to fall apart?
Yeah.
And guess who's the end results? It's us that have to deal with whatever happens.
We're going to either have massive inflation or a nasty recession.
I kind of think that's all happening.
Yes,
isn't
it kind of looks that way.
Yeah.
And just to finish up on this topic, do you want to have access to your checking and savings account when you want to? And have it even if you say something that the government or the fact checkers deem is not accurate. And the only way that you could, get your access back is to become loyal and say, I'm sorry, basically. Okay. I'm so sorry I said that or did that, so that you can have access to your ability to survive.
So you can be in their machine.
Exactly.
Is how I like to put it.
So there's incredible danger that's inherent in CBDCs, and the most educated is going to know how to navigate these waters.
Right.
Okay, so that's all I guess we can say about that. It's pretty tragic.
It is, because they're taking something good and everything, and getting, of course, once the government gets involved in it and starts touching their little fingers on things, it changes things all up. And it's not that they care about you or me or, wealth for us or making it better for people and everything. It's for them.
And when you look at Bitcoin as being the digital gold, and I do believe that, there are just too many smart people out there who do believe it, understand the technology better than you and I ever would, and know what it means.
Yeah.
And so I have optimism that they're accurate. And I do honestly believe that those who are in those types of projects, these are reputable projects. They actually have use cases. If you're into some sort of project that has no use case and has a pretty meme face, you're probably putting your money where you shouldn't be, and that's where you're zigging, and you should be zagging.
And I just want to add on to that. There's a lot of people across different types of lives, like Michael Saylor's one,
right.
Robert
yes.
Kiyosaki is one. You have all these people, that have a lot more knowledge of what's going on out there that are saying basically the same thing. So, again, do your homework, get educated, and look at these different people. It's not just Linda and Chris saying this.
Right.
This is coming from a lot of different areas of life that are saying, hey, maybe this should be part of your portfolio and dive into it, but beware what you need to do and how to do it.
Why don't we offer some names up? You mentioned Robert Kiyosaki, Michael Saylor. There's the cryptocurrency consortium. It's C4. You've got Robert Breedlove. You've got Jason Lowry.
I was just going to say him.
Yeah, that's a good
there's
play.
Several.
Yeah, Swan Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Swan Bitcoin's got a plethora of educational materials on their website. So if you just go with those and get started, you're going to learn quite a bit about what this technology is all about, and is way beyond just a currency.
Right.
So shall we transition to one of our favorite subjects?
Yeah, the pyramid.
Yeah.
The big pyramid.
Yeah, it's called the Global Public-Private Partnership. And some of you may remember, we talked about this a couple of months, and there's five layers to this pyramid. And I don't know. Would you like to take off what the top rung is and talk about that?
The policymakers? Should
yes.
we talk about policymakers?
Yes.
So that would be like the Bank for International Settlement.
And they're at the tip of the pyramid.
Yeah.
They're at the very big guy.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the BIS.
Well, that bank. Is, yeah, of International Settlements. They're the bank's bank.
So, isn't that funny? We got kind of bank. We have a bank, and then we have a bank.
They're at
the top.
Yeah, and they're a policymaker.
Right. And they're the ones that do all of this for us, for the good of us, and make it all better for us. And then we have the policy distributors.
Well, yes, and if we can back up just one bit.
Sure.
Under the policymakers are the organizations, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, You Will Own Nothing and Be Happy. Okay. You've got the Club of Rome, the Rockefellers.
Now, yeah, I should have hit on those.
Interesting, the Rockefeller Foundation has a lot to do with now the advent of the CBDCs and a lot of the policies that we're now being faced with. Just look at our federal government right now, and a lot of it is being pushed by the Rockefeller Foundation.
Yeah, it seems to me, weren't they like in the Federal Reserve stuff and all that?
Yeah, they're somewhat involved with that.
Yeah,
So
again,
Yeah. So you were talking about the policy distributors.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those.
Our friendly Fat F is one, right?
The Fat F! And we have United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank. World Health Organization.
Oh, yeah, we're very familiar with that one.
BlackRock.
Right.
There's that name again.
Doggone, it keeps popping
up. I'm telling
you,
it gives me nightmares, that name.
What about those philanthropists?
Yeah, there's that.
Let's see, who's a famous one? Bill?
Yeah, the one that owns all the property, Gates?
Yeah, all the pristine farmland. Not all of it, but a large swath of pristine farmland, and he's not doing any cattle grazing out there.
No, I'm not sure what he's doing that's any good for us, but yeah.
Right.
So we have all those people and BlackRock and NGOs, non-government organizations.
Right.
And they are our policy distributors. So we got the big bank up there that's got the control of the purse strings in there.
They're the grand poopah.
Yeah, the grand poopah. And we're going to give them to people like Bill Gates and BlackRock, to distribute it to.
Yeah, and if we can, think about all the TED Talks and stuff like that about how we're going to have a pandemic, for instance. Well, that was policy distribution right there. I mean, crystal clear.
Yep.
Yes.
And it hasn't stopped. See, policy has not stopped because, of course, now we have a new variant, so we got to keep pushing that policy and pushing it and pushing it.
And we got the monkey thing.
Oh.
The monkey business.
Yes. Yes. The monkey pox.
Yeah. And Marburg, that's very scary, that one. Anyway.
All right. Then we got the policy enforcers. Now, who do you think that would be?
Couldn't be anybody. Could it be people, our elected government?
No.
Or, I don't know. Some people say selected government, but it's our, the country's governments around the world.
At all levels.
Yes.
Pretty
much.
At all levels. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So they enforce policy, but it's not our own policy that we made. I mean, we may be given some incidental, hey, make some of your own policy within the country, but just like what we talked about with the FATF, they don't like what's been going on in some of the countries, and or it's not moving fast enough, so it's not lining up with the policy distributors, and they're probably getting pressure from the Bank of International Settlements.
Yeah, because they're not getting their way. And they're not getting their money or whatever. They're not getting rich as fast as they would like.
Right.
So then we got a quabble, as they say, between everybody, you know.
Right.
So then we have to give it to...
Well, and don't forget the selected scientific authorities. You know, that's huge. They're all part of the policy enforcers.
Oh, you mean like...
You have the police state and then the health police state.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody.
I
okay.
did too.
All right. And yeah, and they're the ones that like that would probably like we're more like where Dr. Fauci falls in, I would think. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
he enforces it.
Yes.
You know, he
yes.
was the god
right.
of COVID.
Yes.
So to speak, in many ways.
Yeah, and the next two, you think about these two left on the rung. You know, the bottom, the last one being the absolute broad base of the pyramid. But, you know, what's the layer above that one?
What is that? Policy?
Propagandists? Yes.
You mean the ones that spew the information out there that's not right?
And fact-checkers.
The fat checkers?
Yes.
Got to watch how I say that. Cause,
yeah. Fat checkers, yes.
Yeah. Which we have many of them.
Right.
You know, that push it out there. Our mainstream media. Huh. Mm.
Anti-hate campaigners.
Right.
We saw some of that out here in our own town this weekend. So, very interesting.
And then, of course, at the bottom, the very bottom feeders... So to speak, is guess who?
Us.
The
you and
public.
Me. You and me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Imagine that.
Yes.
You know. So, and this applies to everything in our lives right now.
Yeah.
And it's not just us. It's global.
Yeah. And when you think about, you know, keep going back to the zig and zag thing, it's by design to take your eye off of what the zaggers are doing. When you go back and look back to when we started having shutdowns, it was only supposed to be for a couple of weeks, and it turned out to be something else, and then our supply chain was messed up and shut down a couple of times.
Correct.
And where we are to today and why we have so many food manufacturing plants of all varieties that are all of a sudden burning up. I mean, it's just it's like an epidemic. Why, just you name it, almost everything that's going on, why we have so many different variants now, and why do we have these atrocious viruses now being unleashed on the public? It's all designed to lock people up, shut them down.
Take their power, yes.
Where you will own nothing and be happy. So if you squeeze the working people and squeeze them to a point, to where they have to ask for help. And I think we've all, at one point in time in our lives, we've all been at a point where, hey, can you help? And it might be with whatever kind of situation where you ask for help. And what if that help had a condition attached to it?
Right. That goes back to what we were talking about, like with the banks.
Right.
They're going to have conditions that come along with that digital currency.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like they do with anything. But we're at the stage that we can have digital currency and not be in that machine.
Right.
And still profit, you know. I want to tell a little story about some clients that was in my office the other day. And they're a young couple, just got married. And they're thinking about going somewhere, you know, moving, like to India or wherever.
Oh, okay.
Well, they decided... Hungary, I think, is where they're going to end up going. But anyway, besides this. Yeah. So they're going, you know, we have got gold and silver, and we've got this. And, but, Linda, how do we get it where we're going?
Yeah, that is a challenge.
Yeah, they said, and they were planning on, you know, traveling too, like spend some time in Hungary and then go here and then go over there. And they go, how can we take all of our gold and silver overalls with us? It's not feasible, really. And I said,
no. It's not transportable.
It's not. I said, and then we got to talking about Bitcoin and everything. And they said, yeah, that they had been buying into it a little bit. And I said, but you could go anywhere.
That's right.
And you're not limited to how much you can take.
Right.
And you're not limited to where you could go.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about exchanging it.
You don't have to go through customs with it.
You don't have to go through customs with it.
Right.
So think about all of those different things so you can accomplish what you want to do.
Right.
In the best and easiest way.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there because it does make it so much nicer for people what they can do. If you want to go travel, that's great.
Right.
But again, I'm not putting gold and silver down.
Oh,
but
not
to
at all.
Travel with it.
Right.
What do you, you know, how yeah. do you set yourself up? I mean, they're talking about selling everything and doing this.
Right.
And be like nomads, you know.
And can you imagine the weight? The weight requirements if you're getting on a plane, you know, 40 pounds a bag.
Yeah. That means no clothes, no toothbrush, no shoes, no nothing, you know, yeah. And it's a little tiny piece about this big.
And are you going to ship it and feel comfortable?
Exactly,
if you
yeah.
ship it, you need to insure it. There's, it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the beauty about cryptocurrencies and the spendable currencies like Bitcoin and Litecoin and Dash
right.
and some of the others out there that it, you're going to see XRP. And we were going to talk about XRP today, but we decided that we're going to wait on this. This is kind of important stuff that's coming about. But I love that story. So you got them thinking about some
yeah,
things,
I did.
Right?
Yeah, and like I say, they've been dabbling in it. But like I say, you know, they're a young couple. I said, if
right.
you guys can do it, you may never get a chance again. I mean, we all know it's going to go to crap. But if that's what you want to do, that's your opportunity that you could do that where maybe you couldn't do it before because of the gold and silver or, you know, how you're going to pack it around or whatever.
I'm curious.
So stop and think about it.
I'm curious, are they United States citizens?
They are.
So if they were going to another country, are they trying to establish a second citizenship?
They are.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That does allow you the ability to move around if your country does shut down its borders.
Yeah, and just think about where you want to go,
right.
that if it does all fall, that you are not stuck like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
or something, you know, some yeah. China.
Can you imagine being stuck in California and you can't go to Nevada just to go visit without, you know, having to get
your
permission?
Papers?
Yeah, get
not
your
having
papers,
papers.
Get a passport.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems far-fetched, but everything that's going on, it's like, wow, this is just too coincidental. And we're talking about stories. I had a similar situation with a family member who was absolutely in total disagreement about a lot of the things that we've talked about, that no, there's no way that the possibility that there was an issue with our election integrity or that there was an issue with the pandemic and that it could have been something leaked out of a, you know, lab or anything. And so after a couple of years of this, we had a little round robin about things, and she turned around and she just looked and she goes, it is coincidental, isn't it? So it's been a very interesting time, and what a great discussion today.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I think we can end on a word of hope, because really what's going to change all of this is people being awake and observing what is happening and just standing up and saying, no, I am not going to do this, because here in this country, we have the right to say no.
Yes, we do.
We still have that right.
And stand together with
Absolutely.
One another and help one another.
Absolutely.
You got it.
Yes. and that's going to make changes.
And that is our show for this week. Yeah. And so stay tuned for next week.
We'll see you next week.
Yes, everybody. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen.
Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.